First of all, Charles, thank you for your welcome. I'm obviously older than I thought I was. I thought I knew Baron because it was, I didn't realise it must have been about 7 years ago that that Joan left, but never mind. And I'm sure it was just pure coincidence that the third verse of our first hymn said, "Still by foolishness of preaching." But there you are. I've taken the word authority this morning as the keynote word in what I want to say, and I suppose I feel a little bit strange talking about authority with a gentleman behind me, because he has sort of authority. Although I think I've got a little bit, because we're both councillors. He high and exalted, and me just a poor little parish councillor. But there you are. We both serve in our way, don't we? But Matthew, in that reading we had, recalls the chief priests asking, "By whose authority do you do these things? By whose authority?" And sometimes we ask a similar question, don't we? By whose authority? I looked it up, and the word authority is evidently used 22 times in the Bible, and at least 4 times in Matthew's Gospel. In a way, he starts and ends his Gospel by talking about authority. Because if you remember, in Matthew's first chapter, he gives the lineage of Jesus. He sets it out all the way from Abraham, right the way through to Jesus himself, proving to us who read it, that this was the authority that he had from God, right the way through all the people who had gone before. And then in the very last chapter, he talks, almost in the last verse, he talks about authority. There's no doubt that although Matthew may have only been a rather despised tax collector, he was well-versed in Jewish religious law, and I think intrigued by the way Jesus flouted it. He not only turned the tables in the temple, but he sought to overturn the establishment, overturn the authority of the time. I suppose in a way we all benefit or suffer from authority. If things go for us, then of course the authority is quite right in what it does, and it works well against us, and it's all their fault. Busybodies, that's what they are. Little Hitlers, jumped up little Hitlers. Jobsworths, you know, the sort of things that we say about people. I think there are at least 3 forms of authority. I think there's conferred authority by means of a democratic election or selection or some other authorised appointment. And then there's delegated authority from someone who has the authority to pass it down so that other people can do things. And then there's assumed authority, where the person decides to control others without any form of democratic choice. We are often willing, albeit grudgingly, sometimes to accept the first 2, but the third one sticks in our craw, and we sometimes rebel against that authority. And we can see all sorts of examples around it. You've only got to read the local newspapers to see that someone has nearly always got a gripe against someone or something which hasn't worked out well for them. Quite often it's people like parking attendants and those sort of things, or people who take your photo if you're parked in the wrong place. I'm with you there, Charles. I'm with you. Some manage to assert their authority with a modicum of goodwill, whilst others will use their given or assumed powers bombastically. There's a lovely story told of an inspector who worked for the American Food and Drugs Agency. His job was to go out and visit farms to make sure that they weren't growing things that they shouldn't grow, cannabis and opium and all those sort of things, you know. But he was a little bit, of the little Hitler sort of chap, and he went round and he called on one farm one day and said, "I've got the right to come and inspect your farm." And the farmer said, yeah, fine. I've been given the authority to go where I like. So the chap said, yeah, fine, okay, you can go where you like. But, bit of advice, I wouldn't go in that second field over there if I was you. "I can go where I like," he said, and he produced his badge. "This badge says I can go anywhere." So the chap said, fine, okay, off you go. If you need me, just give me a call. And he went about his business, went into the barn. The farmer went into the barn, carried on working there, while the chap strode off across the field. After about 15 minutes, there were dreadful cries and screams for help, and he went outside to see the inspector rushing across the second field, being closely pursued by a large bull, which was gaining on him all the time. "Help, help," he cried. "What am I going to do? Save me." So the farmer said, "Show him your badge, show him your badge." You can't always hide behind authority when common sense should prevail. In Matthew's Gospel, he recounts the questioning of Jesus about his authority for the actions he took the previous day in the temple, where he overturned the money changers' tables and released animals and birds which were being sold for sacrifice. Jesus also allowed sick and disabled people into the inner temple, which he wasn't supposed to do. They couldn't go in there. There was something wrong with them. I know there are some churches you still can't get in today, but that's usually because they haven't got the right ramps or something. But only the chief priests could dictate who was going in and who wasn't going in. And there was Jesus usurping their authority. So Jesus turns the tables, sorry to use that phrase, but turns the tables on them by asking whether they thought that John the Baptist had assumed authority, calling on people to repent and be baptized, or whether he was using God's authority to do it. There was, as usual, much head scratching and tonsil swallowing and all sorts of weird things going on when they realised that they'd been hoist on their own petard, to use a phrase. They'd been caught out again. Jesus really had caught them out. They were the ones with the ability to maintain law and order in the temple, preventing any subversive acts. I remember going to St. Paul's once with our youth club. And we went up into the whispering gallery. Well, you know what the boys are. We saw people whispering, so we went up against the wall and we started to whisper. Only to be told, in fairly loud voices, only to be told by the chap who was up there, "You're not supposed to whisper up here. I'm the one who does the whispering," which seemed rather strange to us. But it still goes on, that sort of thing, doesn't it? To be fair, the temple authorities were a little bit perturbed. In case there was any sort of trouble during the Passover festival. And let's face it, Jesus could be trouble with a capital T. But the trouble was their authority was being undermined, and they thought that that could lead to anarchy. Quite often authority seems to be based on ancient law and tradition, its origins lost in the passage of time. We know that the lawyers of the time had extended the basic laws into a whole myriad of conditions and commandments that the people were supposed to abide by, far more than God intended when he set out the basic laws for people to live. Jesus challenged such practices, and so should we as a church, as a body of Christian people, when we come up against unfair and unnecessary examples. One of the other readings appointed for this morning was a passage from Ezekiel. The Israelites, according to Ezekiel, had been in captivity for many years. And they were living in a foreign land and gradually losing their faith. Ezekiel, who was both prophet and pastor, thought that was calling upon them to go back to their previous ways, even though they were captives and in a foreign land. They were to remember that they were God's chosen people and not to fall into the ways of their captors. In other words, repent and embrace the faith of their ancestors. But they grumbled. What's the point, they said? What's the point? It's their sins that have let us down. It's their sins that we're being punished for. But Ezekiel said that God wanted them to be responsible for their own actions. And this was the message that Jesus had for his listeners in the temple that day. Be responsible for your own actions. And he told that lovely parable about the two sons. Their actions, which contradicted their words, not only affected their own lives and the life of their father, but it affected all the other people who worked in the vineyard, who was taken on possibly as part-time labourers. The first son would have left them short-handed when he said he would go and then didn't turn up. And that could have affected the bringing in of the harvest, the profitability. And the second son would upset all the plans when he said he wouldn't go and the father had made other arrangements and then he turned up. What is the effect of our words and actions on other people? What happens if we say one thing and then do the opposite? Can people trust us? Is our word our bond? Apart from losing face, what is our standing in the community in which we live or among our circle of friends? Can we be relied upon? Does our voice have the voice of authority? When we say yes, we mean yes, and if we say no, we mean no. In the light of that parable, what sort of son or daughter are we? Do we say, yes, fine, I'll do it, and then forget? Or on further consideration, think it's far too difficult and not the sort of thing that we'd like to do? Or do we at first ignore the call, but then have second thoughts? And on reflection, do the work that's required. Do we recognise the call from God when it comes? Do we challenge God's authority? Or do we doubt our own ability? You know, many of the organisations that we work for and many of the companies that we work for issue us with pass cards or some sort of badge that we have to wear or display that enables us possibly to get in where we're going, and they know who we are. We're asked to show it on request and to prove who we are. It opens doors and gets us into places we need to be. I remember being very proud of my prefect's badge when it was given to me at school, when I put it on when I was in the sixth form. It conferred some level of authority, but I think it was only given to me to stop me being out of step with all the rest. You know, one way to rein him in is to make him a prefect, and then he'll have to behave. But if you want some sort of authority and you don't know what to do, I suggest you wear a high visibility jacket. Put on a hard hat or carry a clipboard, yeah, and have a stopwatch. That'll get you in anywhere. It's absolutely marvellous that they can. All you've got to have is confidence. Just step out and do it and you're okay. Do we need authority to be able to help those people who are in need? Do they demand to see our credentials when we give the cup of water in Christ's name that he asked us to give? As has been demonstrated in the media recently, there are those who would abuse and harm those who are they are supposed to help and look after. Unfortunately, we read about carers in homes for the elderly or disabled who abuse the people in their care. Workers in children's homes who do dreadful things. Council officers with the risk... Sorry, nothing personal. Council officers with the task of protecting young people from exploitation and trafficking. And perhaps worst of all, some of these people are church employees, church ministers. No wonder that volunteers are asked to undergo a risk assessment to see if they're suitable. One of our hymns starts the last verse with, "Kingdom of Christ, for thy coming we pray. Hasten, O hasten, the dawn of the day." But what if Christ came back to continue the work that he was doing 2,000 years ago? How soon would he be brought before the authorities for contravening various acts, such as healing without medical qualifications, or causing a riot by feeding 5,000 people, or being accused of being a paedophile for sitting children on his knee, or because he mixed with people who didn't share the same views of having terrorist tendencies? By what authority would that man act? In some churches, today is also recognised as Back to Church Sunday, when we invite those who were churchgoers but have lapsed to come back again and give it another try. Perhaps they thought it wasn't for them. Perhaps they found the challenges too difficult. Perhaps God requested too much of them. Are we authorised to give such an invitation to come back when they've obviously gone against the things that God wanted them to do? Well, as I said, Matthew finishes his gospel in chapter 28, verse 18, by recording that Jesus saying, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Go then to all people everywhere and make them my disciples." You can't have much better authority than that, can you? Jesus himself telling us to do these things. But do we take that authority? And do we use that authority? There'll always be people who question our motives. But conversely, there are always motives to be questioned. Even though we're told we're no longer a Christian country and our relevance in modern society is failing and even our numbers are falling, there are still enough of us to make quite a noise, to raise our voices, to let our beliefs be heard and hopefully acted upon. Let us plan as a church to act with the authority that Christ gave us all those years ago, because it's there in black and white and it still counts. And we thank God for that authority.